Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? Welcome to the Around the World podcast. I'm your host, Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more in the Around the World podcast.
For this episode of the podcast, as well as the next one, I'm going to have the same two guests on. Arthur is an American who I met in my hostel here in Shaanxi, China. And his friend Xiaoni, who is from China, and she has just gotten back from about a six-month trip abroad. She had some really great experiences to share, well, good and bad, all of it, and just her story of how she started traveling and what she did on the road is really unique and amazing. I'm really excited to share these two stories with you. The first episode we recorded, we ran into some construction work and decided to stop recording for a while, but that was okay because it was a really good length already. And then we came back and recorded one more. I hope you'll enjoy both of these, Xiaoni and Arthur. So guys, how do you know each other?
How do we know each other?
Yeah, how did you meet?
Go ahead, Xiaoni.
The first I knew you is in the campus. I say hello. I say foreigner, hello, hello.
Where's campus?
I was the campus, the Guizhou Keji Shuyuan.
College of Science and Technology in Guiyang.
Yes.
In Guizhou province.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what you remember the first time saying hello.
Yeah, I just very
And believe
curious.
It or not, I don't remember that because there were hundreds of students saying hello. The first time I remember meeting you, we were sitting in the canteen. I was having lunch with Lily, Feng Li.
Yeah.
And you were sitting there, and she introduced me to you, and we talked briefly, but that's the first time I remember. So she was a student, and I was a volunteer teacher teaching English.
But she wasn't your student?
For 1 week, she was my student.
Oh, why only 1 week, Xiaoni?
Because I cannot understand English. If the teacher, because I'm a monster.
Monitor?
Yeah, monitoring the class, and the first time the teacher come to the class, and they will find people answer a question, and they don't know anyone. They just, oh, how about the master ask the question? So I just give up, and sorry, I don't know.
So they kicked you out?
Or was that, wait a minute, did I do that?
You don't do this, it's another teacher
another
did.
Another teacher did.
So I feel it's very not good. So,
you were just embarrassed, so you left? Is that it?
Yeah.
You didn't have to
leave? She changed her major.
So I think maybe my English is very bad. I don't want to waste my time in the English major I changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was in my class for 1 week, yeah. And then we kept being friends and knowing each other after that, but she was never in my class again. And I didn't take it personally when she changed her major to finance.
Oh, well, that sounds like a good major for you.
Considering
what I know about you. So, I've just been hearing about this trip of yours. And did you just traveled, right?
Yeah, I travel, and I choose that major because it's about the money.
Yeah, because money.
Yeah, so I choose that major.
But you have a unique story in travel as far as most people I meet. I meet people who will go somewhere and work for a while. And then some people who save up money and then travel and use the money they've saved.
Yeah.
But how did you finance your travels?
I save some money and travel. Then when I'm traveling in Thailand, traveling someplace, I find that country have something and very cheap. And I have some friends say, oh, Xiaoni, just help me take something to help from that country, take this country. I think maybe I can use this to make money.
Oh, so maybe you did it once, just at a recommendation of a friend, and then you thought, this could actually work long term.
Yeah. Then I just try a little. that way and make the money.
Do you remember what the first thing was you bought?
The first thing in the Thailand.
Yeah, in Thailand.
The Thailand, they have some, the, do you know the Thailand have the milk wash? The
oh, okay. To, is it one of these racist things yeah, where they want to make their skin white?
Yeah, I just make 15 yuan.
Oh, that was your profit?
Yeah, the first, I help the people buy this and take it to a China and selling to the yeah. first from the Thailand. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's something. It gets you a meal, right?
Sure, 15 yuan.
15 yuan?
Yeah, 15 yuan, yeah.
Okay, and you thought, well, I can keep doing this?
Yeah.
So where did you go?
Then...
Like, where did you go next?
Next, because I'm in the school, first year, second year. I'm second year to the university, second year to the Thailand.
She went back to Thailand.
Yeah.
His second year in college, sophomore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so this was a short trip and you came back to China?
Right.
Yeah.
And you still knew Arthur and...
Well, sure, she was still a student and I was still teaching.
Yeah.
But in the summer, during the holiday, she would go to Thailand to do this and then come back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But my family, my grandfather, my family, you know, China, all the family, they don't want the children go abroad. They think it's very dangerous.
Sure. They think like the whole world is dangerous outside of China.
Yeah. They think you are a girl, you should stay in the school, you should safe, just read the book. You shouldn't do, just go to
this. It's funny, like, China and America seem so different normally, but I think we have a lot in common. And like some of these worldviews seem so common for Americans too. Like we think the whole world is dangerous for some reason. Maybe just because of what we see on the news.
Mm.
What do you agree, Arthur?
Americans, 20-something younger Americans feel very confident traveling in the world. And you know, Shaunyi is the exception. I think, in my experience, a lot of my students, when I was teaching there, they say they want to travel, but they don't. They say, "Oh, I have no money." But also, they don't. It's scary. You know, the idea of staying in a hostel, or you know, hitchhiking like Shaunyi did. You know, forget that. You know, they're not going to do that. But I think Americans are a little more adventurous in that way.
Okay.
And even,
well, it's hard to generalize.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean. But even like, she's talking about her grandfather, and you know how he thought it was crazy for her to travel. She's a girl. She should just stay in the village and everything.
Yeah.
I think a lot of American grandparents, you know, if their grandchild says, "I'm going to go to Paris," that's fine.
Okay.
You know, something like that. But in China, it wouldn't be fine for... Well, not, you know, every time I talk about China, I should qualify it and say this part of China that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Beijing, it's not Shanghai, it's Southwest China, which is less developed. And so a lot of the parents of my students are very, you know, wary of the outside world. Mm-hmm. And they have very traditional ideas about girls not traveling alone. And, you know, I've had one of my students... A very nice girl say, "I wish I was a boy." And I'd say, "Why? You're such a great girl." She says, "Because my parents won't let me go anywhere. Huh. You know, and if I was a boy, I could travel."
Then you could.
Yeah. So there's some. I think there's some differences. But yeah, Americans are afraid of the world, too, in different ways.
Yeah, fair enough. And again, I've the most adventurous people I've ever met are Americans as well. Mm. And then the least adventurous. So we've got a broad range of things. So
yeah.
Actually, it's one thing I found really interesting when I've traveled is that with Americans especially, I kind of meet one end or the other.
Mm.
And like I'm totally generalizing here, I know, but with Europeans, it seems like I meet a lot of like Germans or French who will go somewhere for a month, like travel to Peru for a month, travel to China for a month, and they can do that. But Americans don't really have that option. So, because usually we only get a week or two at a time. Like even 2 weeks is a huge luxury now. And so you either are going for a week to some country and like staying in nice places or relaxing on the beach. And it's that end of the spectrum. Or you just quit. You just give it all up and go out into the wilderness and like do crazy adventurous stuff. And it's almost like hard to have that middle ground if you're American in many ways. Although... Obviously, there are exceptions, but yeah, that's just what I've found. Anyway, let's talk about your trip a little bit. So you did a longer trip, though, right?
Yeah, I just finished my longer trip. And This is one graduate. I just like all the Chinese people, the students graduate, we don't know what we want to do. Because, you know, I'm the school is not the China the very good school, so it's not very easy to find the work.
So even you didn't go like to the Harvard of China then?
Yeah. So we are not like the other students, very easy to find the work. Even we find the work, like my the classmates, they find the work just work in the supermarket.
Yeah. With a college degree.
Yeah. Even we learning the international trade and economy, but we still work very easy. But I don't want to do that work. So I just designing. So I don't know what to do. And if I'm staying at home, my mom, I will argue with my mom.
Okay. So what does she want you to do?
She just want I just find a stable work, teacher, nurse.
Okay.
Whatever, government, stable work. Yeah. Stay in the small city, stay with them. That's the best choice.
Okay.
Yeah, all my family is this.
Okay.
Then, yeah. But this is not my choice. I don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it. I don't want that life because, I don't know. Then, so I just choose, I get the visa to the Thailand again.
Okay.
And I go to Thailand again. Then first, I want to go to Thailand to be a volunteer. Like that hostel, a volunteer just help them something and they give me the food and the live place.
Yeah.
Then I meet a friend, my friend,
yeah.
And she's a tour guide in the Thailand.
Uh-huh.
So that company needed people,
yeah.
Can speak the Thai, can speak the Chinese.
Oh, okay.
So I just go to the company.
Can you speak Thai too?
I can speak some.
Yeah.
I work the Sawadika, some of the basic the Thai language I can speak.
Oh, okay. Is it at all similar to Chinese or is it a completely different language?
It's different. I learned in the Thailand.
Oh, you learned while you travel. Wow.
Yeah.
Quite
yeah.
resourceful.
Yeah. And then I do that job, the tour guide job. The China, the group, to Thailand, I accept them, I take them around, like they do that work.
So a Chinese tour group would come to Thailand and you'd show them around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then I just work at the company, maybe half year. Then I back home, then I go there work, then I back. The last year, because the company have something, happening, so I just finished the work. Just want to have a long time rest. So I just because I with my mom always have the problem. My family always think I shouldn't go to Thailand. That is work is very not stable. No.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
Is it true? It's not stable?
I think it's okay because I'm young. I don't want to find a stable work. I can know 5 years I'm do the. I can see the 5 years what I am. I don't want to. I don't want to say 5 years, 10 years. I can say 5 years I'm still in the bigger teacher. 10 years I still.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that thing. So.
Yeah, you're quite young. How old were you at the time?
That time.
Yeah, then.
23. That time is 2021. Graduate.
So you were 21, now you're 23.
Yeah.
So this is 2 years ago.
2 years, yeah. And so.
That's a lot of pressure, you know, to like.
Many pressure.
Decide what to do with the rest of your life. I mean, it was hard for me too. And I don't have nearly the pressure that a Chinese student would have.
Yeah, if you are Chinese the children, you have China parents, you will know.
Right.
We have many the pressure from the family.
Uh-huh.
They want you. Yeah, cannot like you just can travel around. We cannot very hard. We have to against them.
I found especially like girls I've met, Chinese girls, have it so much harder with their families because the families want you to get the good job, but then do they also want you to get married and have a kid or two kids?
They want to. They will help you choose the husband.
Oh, okay, but that's you have to do that, right? And it's just. Or did you have a choice?
Oh, if you the husband is not good, the old family will say, no, you cannot marry with them.
Oh.
Yeah, so. they think if you have a boyfriend, the first is he have the stable work, money. Then the last is you with him, see, you can deal with good or last, it's last.
Okay.
The first is the family, the
yeah.
money, work, this is very important for China parents, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, just, I guess we have that a little bit in the States, but not to any degree the same as what they have in China. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's come back to Arthur for a little bit. What brings you to China?
This time or
yeah.
the first time?
Oh, well, let's get your story. The first time you came to China, how long ago was that?
I was 62. I quit my job working for local government back in Seattle and joined the Peace Corps. And I was here for 3 years as a volunteer English teacher in Guiyang at a university there. And that's where I met Xiaoni.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for 3 years. And then I went home and I came back. I've come back several times since then to see the friends that I have, but also to have something to do, which is volunteer teaching somehow. And I volunteered in a high school in the countryside for a while, and then I came back. And this time, I'm a volunteer teacher at a great college, a really inspiring, wonderful place in Guizhou, private college created by some wealthy Chinese people to provide opportunities to children from the countryside, farmers from farming families who couldn't go to university. So this college is affordable to them, and it gives them job skills. And they use foreign volunteers to teach English. So that's what I do now. I just finished that, and now I'm relaxing.
Okay. So you're otherwise retired then?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm retired. I'm 68 now, so
yeah.
I'm retired. But for me, you know, Xiaoni said she didn't really want to. She was uncomfortable with the idea of her career being planned out and knowing what she's going to do for 5 or 10 years. For me, I was uncomfortable with the concept of being retired and not doing anything.
Yeah.
And so this is why I come back, because it gives me a reason to be here and meet new people and learn things and do something meaningful. Yeah. So.
Yes, that sounds really important from everything I've heard about. The way we view retirement is not always healthy. And a lot of people just view it as, oh, I'm just going to stop working and then I'll sit around and do nothing all day and I'll be totally happy.
Yeah, well, I know people who are really happy in retirement and have found compelling things to do. You know, they've decided to learn how to paint and, you know, be an artist and things like that. So some people are totally comfortable in retirement. And of course, if you have grandchildren, which I don't, that can occupy a lot of your time in retirement. So for some people, you know, they make it work, but a lot of other people are kind of bored. And for me, that didn't sound good, so.
No, right, so you came to China, and how long are your stints here now that you're volunteering?
Well, one semester, which is around 5 months or so.
And that long? Oh.
Yeah, oh, okay. And then I go back. And one of the best, most interesting things for me about being in China as an older person is that in America, if you're this age, unless you have grandchildren or something, you're pretty much invisible. You know, it's a real youth-oriented culture, and older people just are marginalized. But I remember the first time I came to China with the Peace Corps, after a few weeks, I met a high school girl in Chengdu in the market, and she wanted to practice her English. So we became friends, and we'd be walking around at night because it's too hot in Chengdu to stay inside. And one time I said to her, you know, I came to China with about 80 other American volunteers in the Peace Corps, and many of them are closer to your age. Maybe you'd like to meet them. And she said, yes, I would, but I'm also interested in the wisdom of older people.
Uh-huh.
And I almost fell over when I heard that, because you will never hear that in America.
Younger
people in their 20s and 30s don't think that older people have any insights or wisdom to share.
Yeah.
So for me, coming back to China, you know, as often as I do, you know, gives me a role and a meaningful role and something to do. So
Sounds great.
It's very rewarding, yeah.
Yeah, for you, and I'm sure you're helping them too.
I'm not a trained teacher. I wasn't a teacher when I was back in America, and I've had to learn on the job how
sure,
to teach, yeah. And I'm getting better, and you never know how much you're helping them, but...
True, I mean, it's a skill, and I do, like, tutoring too, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing half the time.
Yeah.
But how many students do you have when you're teaching?
Well, back in when I was teaching with the Peace Corps at the university, my classes were anywhere from 45 to 60
at
students.
One time?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's
huge.
Oral English, and it's
oral English.
Oral English.
So how are they're just listening to you?
Well, that's it. It's very difficult to actually check their pronunciation.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many of them, and you can't spend much time with any one of them, so. The thing that you typically do is get them to work in pairs or groups and talk to each other. But that doesn't really allow you to correct their pronunciation very often. Mm. So the best thing, the thing that was, well, worked as well and was most interesting for me was to get them to do role play, where four or five of them, you would assign a topic and then they would create their own dialogue and perform it in front of the class. And that way I could listen to their speaking and, you know, pick out some common mistakes and you tell the whole class about
it. Oh, got it.
So that, you know, but it was difficult with big classes like that.
For sure.
But the role play was kind of fun. The kids really got into it.
Yeah, last year I went to this small city near Beijing, and they had me go to a high school. And every high schooler would come up and do, like, not really, I guess like American Idol, but like a talent show. And they would read the speech that they had made, and I'd have to grade them. And it was, some of them were really good, but some were not. But before I even started, they said, give them a score out of 0 to 100, and the lowest score you can give anyone is 70. I'm like, oh, okay. And yeah, I gave them a little bit of feedback, but I don't know that they learned much from me.
Day, it's hard.
No.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, This class, do you think it helped them? Do you think they were learning fast with a foreign teacher?
Learning fast?
Or learning... do you think they learned anything in the school?
Well, of course I think they learned anything. Otherwise, I'd be saying I was wasting my time. I don't know. I mean, maybe Xiaoni could talk to that more than me.
Yeah, okay.
But I tried to... The Peace Corps encourages you to include a lot of cultural information in your teaching, not just the language. And so they learned a little bit about American culture from me. And sure, I think that it helped them, you know, some of them more than others, and depending on, you know, how hard they worked, you know, ultimately it's up to them.
Yeah, that's the thing with language. Like, you have to put in the effort.
Right.
Well, let's go to Shani. How did you learn? What do you think was the most beneficial way of learning English for you?
Learning English?
Yeah, so how did you learn the most? Was it in a class? Was it speaking with friends?
I speak with Arthur.
Yeah?
I speak with him.
All the time?
Not all the time. I don't know. Because the first time I go to university, my English is very, very low.
Yeah.
Just say hello. I say hello because I'm curious, because he's a foreigner. So I just say hello.
Ah, okay.
And only the... One the word, hello, how are you? It's like this.
Was he the first foreigner you ever saw? Or very close?
Very close.
Wow.
Very close. So.
And you were in college.
Yeah, and you just ask him about the students learn how fast or something. And I'm not his students, but the roommates is his students.
Oh yeah.
And I can tell you know what is the how to judge you.
Uh oh.
Okay, you want to listen?
Maybe I should leave the room.
Well, you're gonna hear it anyway, no matter what.
Yeah.
Later on. Okay. Might as well get it out.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm not his students, but I have two roommates is his students.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then sometimes we just talk about in the dormitory and I say, oh, just finished Arthur's work. Oh, tomorrow I have Arthur's work. I just ask him, oh, how about the class, the foreigner is okay? He said, he every day, he's very exciting. Yeah, they just see your everyday is very exciting. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Very energy, and they are very exciting. Prepare
the role play.
Yeah. Because you have the group, the exam.
Yeah.
So they are very exciting. Another the Chinese the teacher, they just because they your class, I think maybe is more the active.
Mm.
We just want them.
Yeah, I want them to do more work, yeah, and a lot of the traditional teachers would just talk more.
Another Chinese teacher just write.
Yeah.
English teachers?
Yeah.
Just writing on the chalkboard?
Just write and the sentence and very boring. I won't sleep. You
know? Yeah, sure.
It's like this and very difficult and others, it's okay. And you are very good. Somebody do something. So
I can catch them using their phone. Or
use the phone or get something.
An issue too, I guess.
Yeah. That was really funny. Speaking of role plays, though, in the class, there was one group that came up, and I gave them a topic. I said, okay, you have to imagine that the four or five of you are having lunch in the canteen, and one of you says, oh, that new foreign English teacher, he won't let us use our phones in class. What a jerk. And then the others have to have the conversation about that. And
so it's a realistic conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I said, at least one of you has to take the side of the teacher.
Uh-huh.
You know, so then they would, and so they, I got to, so I learned a lot about Chinese culture and things by structuring these role plays that way. Mm. So one group got up there, I remember, and one of the boys said, oh, I have to use my phone in class because what if my girlfriend calls me? And another boy says, look, if you don't turn off that phone and learn English, you're never going to get a good job. So you can forget about having a girlfriend.
Okay.
And so
and that's the cultural thing.
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
Yeah. So, they were very creative in these role plays. Mm. It was really fun getting to do that. You know, and ask them how, if they went home for Spring Festival, the family would ask him questions. Do you have a boyfriend yet? When are you going to get married? You know, to reenact all of those things, too. So it was really a lot of fun.
But actually, your students, they are very care your class, really.
Well, they have great kids.
They are really care your class. Mm. When they go your class, they will prepare a lot, really. In the dormitory, I see them.
Okay, you know, that's good to know.
Sounds like you did a great job. You had a good effect on them.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, she talks about how energetic the class was. Well, I feel like I was kind of trying to, well, not trying consciously, but I sort of made up in energy what I lacked in experience and skills. You know, I just tried harder, but didn't know exactly. Mm. You know, I tried a lot of things that didn't work. And then try this.
Sure. That's one reason my wife Katie really likes it here, like teaching, because she, like at home, there'd be a book, a textbook, and she has to follow all the rules exactly.
Yeah.
And here she has so much more freedom to experiment and do other things,
mm-hmm.
and potentially take on other roles in the school. And she doesn't need to, you know, go back to school for 4 years to see if she wants to have this new role, and then only to realize she doesn't really like it. You know, it's cool. It's like more open as far as what you can do. As long as you are a good teacher, which I get the feeling you were a great teacher.
Yeah, I think he is not only the teacher in the English. And I think his students, maybe for the teaching, but for me, I think it's very important because, you know, I'm in the school and I have to, you know, with my family.
Fighting.
Fighting. All the fighting, you know, always fighting with my family in the college.
Even when you were in school?
Yeah, because I want to travel and this thing, we're fighting a lot. I argue with my grandfather. My grandfather even say, if you go to Thailand, never back home.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
Was he serious or did
it's
he?
It's very serious. I just told the author last time. Yeah, and I think author just, I can travel now. I can travel so long in this country. I think it's because author gave me the helped me a lot because that time I'm just a little girl and he teach me I have to be myself and I have to find what I want to do the thing. If the thing is good, I have to just keep doing.
Okay.
And he He will never tell me, Xiaoni, you should do this, you should do this. He just give me the different way. Maybe you should try this. Give me the different thinking way. I think it's very important. Yeah.
Time out. She's giving me way too much credit. She was a very brave, curious, tough girl long before she met me. And she, you know, she had lots of resistance at home, but she was already pushing back on that before she met me. But she's right. I didn't try. That's the one thing you got to be really, I had to be really careful about in China, is not telling people, you know, after listening to their stories, saying, oh, you should do this, you should, because there's so much I don't understand about their situations and the culture and everything. So with Xiaoni and other people, I just try to give them another way of thinking about it, you know.
Okay.
And, but she deserves all the credit for what she's doing. She's an amazing girl. And very brave.
Sure sounds like it. I was honestly listening to this, I'm really impressed by both of your angles and what you're saying.
Well, we spent a lot of time together, even though she wasn't my student. We did stuff and traveled a little bit.
And learning English from him.
And she's one of the reasons that my Mandarin is terrible.
Oh.
Because whenever I travel, I'm with her or one of my other students, I don't have to speak Mandarin.
Right,
you know?
Right.
She can buy the train ticket for me. She can talk to the shopkeeper.
Yeah.
And I let it happen.
It's the downside of being with a local.
But it's okay. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it. I just wish my Mandarin was better.
Well, I'll tell you, even if you really want to speak Chinese, if you're with a Chinese person, I don't know how often you've had this experience, but for me, like, I go into a restaurant, I ask the waiter in Chinese, like, some question, the waiter doesn't even look at me, only responds to the Chinese person.
Right.
And it's like, oh, come on. And I think even if my Mandarin were absolutely perfect, it'd be exactly the same thing.
Right.
Like, so sometimes that's a little frustrating as a foreigner, but, you know, usually people are totally cool about, like, listening to me and trying to understand my terrible pronunciation. But every now and then I get those people who, they see me as a foreigner and they don't believe for a second I could utter a word of Chinese.
Right.
It's just not possible.
And so when you do that, if you try to speak some Chinese, even if your pronunciation is good, they don't understand you because they're not listening for Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak, they expect you to speak English. So if you speak perfect Chinese, they go, well, they still don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's the other end where I'll say a few words and then they'll go, oh, he speaks Chinese.
Right.
Okay. Brrr, and like just speak at a normal, natural pace. And you're laughing.
Yeah, yes.
Is that how you are? Or?
Yeah, if I'm the waitress, I also will do this. Like you're Chinese, you're a foreigner, and what do you want to eat?
Only looking at the Chinese
person. Yeah, just right. And then you say, I want what? Oh, you speak English.
Yeah.
And then I'll, because I don't think you together, I just ignore
the foreigner?
Yeah,
I get that. I mean, I try not to get
offended. If you go along, it's okay. Mm. If you want to learn the Chinese, you have to learn.
Yeah, you almost have to be. Like, that's the really good thing about traveling alone. You meet more people that way. And if you want to learn a language, there's no better way to do it than just throw yourself right into it. You'll learn. You'll learn a few words at least.
So
we could talk maybe a little bit more about your trip. We kind of like, we talked about like how you travel in college. It's a little weird doing this with both of you because I know you're really close friends, but this is all interesting stuff, but I really want to hear about your.
Okay.
I agree. I want to hear about it too.
Okay. Yeah. So let's listen. Tell us when did you decide or how did you decide to take off?
Oh, I finished because last year I finished my visa, my Thailand visa is full, so I have to go back to China.
Okay.
Then I think maybe I just have a rest, so I just choose to go to Tibet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then I just buy the ticket, fly to Tibet because the ticket is very cheap.
Yeah.
So I fly to Tibet and in the Tibet and I just meet I just some of the place and walk around every day, just the sun, the sleep, and
you liked it?
This is the second time to the Tibet.
Okay.
Yeah, not big change. Yeah, yeah. And in the Tibet, I start to selling something.
Oh, selling things?
Yeah. Because
were you buying and selling there?
Yeah, because I'm not a worker, because I'm quite the tour guide job, so I have to travel, so I have to find the way, make some money for my traveling.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I just think, what can do? Then I send a Thailand stuff, and I think maybe in the Tibet. Tibet have some local thing, medicine. The Tibet medicine is very famous.
Okay.
And the yak.
The yak.
So I selling
yak meat or
yak meat. Yeah.
Okay.
And I ship to the. I put in the WeChat of the paper and tell it's very good and sending this.
Oh, so you just sat on the street and sold it to the tourists who came through, or did you ship it?
WeChat.
Ship in the WeChat.
Oh, you use WeChat,
yeah,
and people would buy it from other places in China?
And you would
send
it?
I ship them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense then. Okay.
Yeah, and every day just walk around, find the local thing and the setting.
Wow, WeChat is so great. It's just, you can do so many things.
Yeah.
And it makes this so easy.
Yeah, yes. And I stay in the Tibet maybe 20 days.
Okay.
Then I know the Nepal. Nepal, the visa is free.
Ah, no visa for Chinese.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought, it's free. Maybe I can go. It's very close.
Yeah.
Tibet and Nepal is very close also, because I have nothing to do. And just walk around. So I just go there and get my visa. It's very easy to get the visa. So, okay, buy the bus ticket. So I go to Nepal.
And there's a road from Tibet into Nepal that you can take?
Yeah. They have the bus.
Okay.
But it's very, very bad road.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because Nepal have the earthquake.
Right. So you went after the earthquake, huh?
Yeah. Some of the place you cannot, you just put your stuff just in the head and walk. Because it has stone.
Oh, the bus stops and you have to get out and walk?
Yeah.
Oh, what does the bus do then? Can it can't get through the road? Or can
you have to meet another bus on the
other
side.
Oh, another. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Or some, always have some problem in that road, very dangerous.
Sure.
But now maybe it's better, but that time because they have the earthquake.
Right.
So problem.
And is, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but is it only Chinese who are allowed to take this route, or can foreigners take it?
Foreigner also can go.
Okay.
Yeah, foreigner also can go.
So it's a good way to go into Nepal then?
Yes.
Through Tibet.
Even the Tibet have many foreigners go.
Oh, okay.
But like the very far, Tibet far, the place you cannot go by. You can
right.
go someplace.
More restricted.
Yeah.
Okay, so how was Nepal?
Nepal, also a second time to Nepal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're well traveled.
Yeah, and Nepal is changing a lot.
Yeah?
It's changing a lot.
And how so?
Many Chinese people in there.
Ah.
Many Chinese people in there because of free visa.
Okay.
Many Chinese people in there, and I think how to think for the Nepal people.
It's not good for them, or.
Yeah, because I do the business.
Yeah.
I sell in the Nepal the scarf, handmade the scarf.
Okay, the scarf, yeah.
Yeah, scarf, the scarf and to China and the people they are very, not good and they selling. The price is very high.
Okay.
And this scarf is maybe 100 yuan.
Yeah.
And he will say, this scarf 600 yuan.
Really, wow.
Really, if you go to Nepal, it's like this. He will say 600 yuan.
Yeah.
And you just, it's too expensive. Just, hold on. Come,
yeah.
My friends. We talk. This very good Pashmir.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Okay, you stop. How much? 400 yen. And then you still think it's very expensive. Then you just leave.
Yeah.
And catch you again.
Yeah.
How much you pay?
Uh-huh.
And you don't know how much this deserves. So just, you don't know how much you should
pay. For sure.
Yeah. And if you say 300, maybe you think too high. If you say 200, 150, maybe you think maybe the boss is very angry, so it's very
It's pretty intense then.
Yeah. And but usually you should speak a very low price.
Right, right.
Very low price.
Right.
Low, they are angry. They just want to.
But what if you say, I will buy 100 of them? Do you do that?
Yeah, I selling this, I usually buy 50, 60, many.
Yeah.
I buy many. Usually I will tell them I'm wholesale.
Okay.
I buy wholesale. And even the wholesale, and they will give you the stuff with different quality.
Oh,
they show
okay.
you the, this is good.
Right.
But when you give your stuff, put
yeah.
some bad.
Right, right.
Yeah, so in the Nepal, be careful.
Yeah.
And they selling the fruit shop also have problem.
Okay.
And they tell you it's one, 10, only, how many is it? 10.
10, yeah.
And you maybe think it's 10, 1 kg.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 10, half.
1 jin?
Yeah, 1 jin,
yeah,
1
yeah.
jin.
You one, like 1 pound, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's twice as expensive just
yeah.
because you didn't get the
exact.
Yeah, that's one thing, unfortunately, traveling many parts of the world, there's heavy bargaining and the switcheroo happens and these techniques you hear about a lot. But, you know, sounds like you're really skilled at this stuff, too, adept at it. Wow, I mean, you're able to get yourself through it and make enough money, right?
Yeah, and just Nepal is okay. I think most of local people is okay. But if you buy something, just be careful. But just low price. This is okay. But another thing is good. The Nepal, the people is good. Is everything good? The food,
okay.
The food is good.
Yeah.
Many the China restaurant, Chinese people, all the Chinese people in there.
Well, I guess that's another theme that we could talk about throughout the world. It's as China becomes more affluent, they've just got such a huge population that a lot of people want to travel, and a lot of them have never left the country, and you know they tend to go in these big tour groups, and so sometimes they're not so well liked. I mean, that's putting it nicely.
You know, when the China people go to Nepal, India, someplace, and they will say, hey, Chinese, they think we are the moving ATM.
Yeah.
They think all the Chinese people is rich. You Chinese very rich, you have money.
Right.
You travel, you have money. All the Chinese people have money. We shouldn't make you money.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like, give me like this feeling. We are very rich.
It's funny, I get that a lot too. Like, not necessarily so much in China, but a lot of countries I go to, people just assume I'm super rich.
Mm.
And it's like, I'm staying in the cheapest hotels and I'm like eating the cheapest food and like, I spend like no money and somehow I must be rich.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair though, I was able to buy the plane ticket and go there, wherever it is. And they don't have that option sometimes if they're really poor. So in maybe compared with many people in the world, I realize I am quite well off. But compared with people in my own country, I'm like the lowest end.
Yeah.
Anyway, where did you go after Nepal?
After Nepal, I go India.
Ah, okay, it makes sense. Continued into India?
Yeah, India, you know, for India is not Chinese people. Because, you know, in the China, if you use the Baidu, India, the first word is how to say the India man is the treated the woman. How to say the words? The India man.
Oh, so when you go to Baidu, there's a warning about, or they talk about how Indian men treat women badly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That word, I don't know how to say, just
a warning, you mean? Or disclaimer, kind of?
Yeah, if the woman goes to India, will be
attacked?
Yeah.
Attacked. Huh. So very dangerous, basically,
yes, very
for
dangerous.
Women,
oh,
if you
wow.
go to
women to travel.
If you go to Baidu, India, then all the news about India, the dirty, India's dangerous, and the Indian men will be...
Will attack you.
Attack you.
And I should note, Baidu, you mean the maps, Baidu maps, right?
Or
Baidu search engine.
Baidu searching.
Okay, Baidu is this big company in China, and they're almost like the equivalent of Google. So they have a big search engine that you use to search things in Chinese. They also have mapping software that, because Google is blocked in China, you can't access it. So everybody uses Baidu Maps instead of Google Maps. Mm-hmm. So she's talking about going to, you go to just search for like where's the nearest hostel in India, and right away it just pops up like, there's all these problems.
Yeah, all the Baidu, the news, India is not a good India, not a good India. India is very bad. Yeah, because we trust the Baidu. If everything happened, we were Baidu.
Unfortunately, India does have that reputation. But do you think it was deserved? Were those warnings correct or were they wrong?
I don't want
to move that too much, Arthur.
I think India is okay. Yeah. Not like the Baidu thing, the average India men want to do something for you. Uh-huh. But because I go to India because it's very close to the Nepal. So I think, I go to Nepal, maybe I just go to India. So I just buy a ticket to fly to the India.
Okay.
And I can make some money from the trip. So maybe I can go to India, still can use this way, selling something and for my travel.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, then I go to fly to India. India, for the Chinese people, the visa is internet visa.
You can get it online.
Yeah, online the visa. So it's very easy to get the visa. And I fly to the New Delhi. And
okay. What did you think of New Delhi?
I go the places, the Tibetan, the Tibetan, the India Tibetan place, they looks like the Tibetan, but they cannot speak the Chinese, they cannot speak Tibetan, but they wear the Tibetan clothes.
Sure.
And they speak,
they're ethnically Tibetan, right?
They speak English, and they think Dalai is present.
Dalai Lama,
and whatever is like this place. All the people is Tibetan.
Yeah.
India Tibetan.
Yeah.
India,
yeah.
I live in that place because that place is, I think it's more safe.
Uh huh.
Yeah, maybe more safe. And the first day I go the CBD, the India.
Oh, Central Business District.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just surprised. That is CBD.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like the market, you mean?
No,
to buy stuff or
tall buildings?
No. It's like my small country, the CBD, so small.
Oh.
Yeah.
So small, like, not many people or.
Yeah, I imagine the India, the CBD building, luxury, and I go there. Wow. It's just like.
Like short buildings and.
Yeah,
just
a
little area.
Just a little area and this place and. I go there the local bus
rickshaw they call it in India.
Yeah, and they just take me to the first day they take me to the amateur guy, talent tour guy, and then the tutu take me to the shopping. I feel very
pressuring you into buying things.
Yeah, I buy the clothes.
Oh, you
I buy a dress.
For yourself or to sell?
For myself.
Oh.
Because he take me to that place.
Okay.
And if I not buy, he will always speak, and everybody just around me. So if you go to India, just be careful. Really, really be careful.
Yeah.
They like, the tutu like take you to the shopping center. Somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds intense. I mean, and I was there too recently, and... It's up a level of you're increasing the intensity over China for sure. China seems like a totally calm, relaxed place compared with Delhi.
Mm.
Not all of India is like that, but Delhi sure is.
Yeah, maybe they think I'm rich or I don't know.
Yeah, again, same issue, huh?
Yeah, same. I'm a girl. Maybe looks very
young.
And they think maybe. She's okay. I can make money from her, something like this. And the first day, I'm very quiet and it's very the little girl. And you know, maybe 3 days, I'm very.
Oh, okay.
Every day.
So it toughened you.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's make me is very. Yes, if somebody like if you in the line, the subway line, some the India people like. Just
pushing.
Yeah.
A cut in front of you.
Cutting.
Yeah. The first time I just stand just.
Right.
Because
right.
I don't know. I think maybe in the India, so just stand. Yeah. But after 3-4 days, go away.
It's funny. So many things you tell me about going to India, I felt about going to China. It's like the subways and oh, these people are cutting in front of me. Now what? I can't just push them because they'll get mad or whatever.
Oh, yes, you can.
That's like the day one. Then day two, it's like, get out of here. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Push them right back.
Yeah, and do you, if you go to India, you can try the train. India train.
The trains, yes.
Special train.
Oh, you're smiling now, so you must like this.
Yeah, it's
what
very
train, where did you take the train?
In the train station.
I mean, to where?
To the Jaipur.
Oh, Jaipur.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Jaipur. And I take the train. I don't know, because that time is the India, some of the festival. If they have the festival, some festival, the people in the like the New Year, the people, they work in the downtown, they were back to the countryside.
Oh, okay.
So it's very hard to buy a ticket. Then I go to the train station, so I cannot buy a ticket. So just the some people help me buy a ticket, very cheap, so cheap. Only 30, I forget, but it's very, very cheap.
Yeah.
I say, wow, so cheap. Four or five hours.
30 rupees? Or?
Yeah, so cheap. Why is so cheap?
It's like
but
50 cents.
Yeah, I just not thinking. Okay, whatever, have a ticket.
Yeah.
So I just go to ticket and they're waiting. And some people say, oh, you have to wait in there. And, the India, the train station is very different than China.
Uh-huh.
I know the China, the train station is very many people. But India, the train station is... the people just lying.
Yeah, again, it's another level.
Sleeping there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference between India and China. Like, I've noticed Chinese people don't like to sit on the ground.
Yeah,
And won't lie down on the ground. It's just this big, like even in grass, like in a park. It just doesn't happen in China.
Yeah.
But in India, people sleep everywhere.
They sleep everywhere.
They're not afraid of that at
they
all.
They just keep the children and they just like... to the train and
throw a child under the
just because
the
they are very
chuck them out.
I don't know why they are very hurry. The train is coming and not stop. They just let's go. And I don't know why. I think everyone have the said why so hurry. So
right.
I just slowly because I have ticket. I think I have ticket. I must
sure.
have the seat.
Sure.
So I just so stupid.
Yeah.
The India people are so
looking
stupid.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah, I have ticket. You have ticket. Why are you just the train is not?
Again, I have this exact same thing with China. Like, I'll be in anywhere in the country. They'll announce, okay, this train is ready to board now, and everybody just rushes to the front. It's like, guys, the train's not leaving for 15 minutes, and we all have seats. It's right there. You've got your seat. It's assigned. There's no need to do this. But India, again.
India
so
also is like
also,
this.
Also, yes. But did you have a seat?
I thought I have a seat.
You thought you had a seat.
Because I have a ticket. I buy a ticket. The real ticket. Then they just go there. So I also, I think maybe I'm last go there. The ticket. And when I go there, I'm just, whoa.
Okay.
You know, the people, Earth. Everywhere.
It's just everywhere there's people.
They don't have the seat.
On the roof of the train.
Because
oh, yeah.
they, my the ticket, I don't know, I have to, from this to there, I have to walk all the people just.
Oh, okay. So you had to walk around a big crowd in line.
Yeah. Many, 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 many people.
Sure.
So finally, because they think I'm a foreigner,
mm-hmm.
so they say, okay, we give you a good place. So I found a good place.
They really gave you a good place? Or they just said
near the door.
Okay.
Because the door is open. So I just hold the door.
Ah, okay.
And 4 or 5 hours.
But did you get a seat or were you standing?
Just a little, just
you had a place to sit down.
Just sitting and
yeah, there
by the
is the one, two, three, because this is a sleep. There is a sleep, okay. And I'm in there.
Ah.
There is a door and a sleep. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Right.
Huh. And all the people crowding there.
Wow. Yeah, that's what you get for a 30 rupee ticket.
Yeah, so
I mean, sometimes those trains are so full, there's literally a guy hanging out the door the entire time, holding onto a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And the train is moving at 60 miles an hour. I mean, just one little bump and that guy's a goner, but that's just normal there.
Yeah, because I'm the foreigner, so I have the
space. So they gave you a tiny bit of space.
Huh? And they are very... They say, oh, where I come from, China, and they wear tell another people, say, they have a China, let's say the China, and I just say, I like a monkey or something.
You're like what?
An animal.
Animal. They treat you like an animal.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow.
They say, China girl. They have a China girl.
Yeah.
And they will call another friend and say, they have a China girl.
Something and they're like, looking at you and stuff.
Yeah, they will call another friend to come to there see me.
Wow, I mean...
So you're an animal, like someone in the zoo, a curiosity. You know, that's the way that they treat you as an animal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like this.
Well, we're getting some extreme noise now. This is pretty sad, like planning. This is going to show up pretty big time in the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been going almost an hour.
Seems like it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we've only got halfway through her trip.
I know.
There's a lot more, many more stories.
Oh, that's too bad. I wanted to hear the whole thing, but well, we could let's at least just take a break for now.
Okay.
Because this noise is going to sound awful.
Yeah, can't deal with that.
Yeah, it's just I every time I've recorded a podcast here, I talk about this, like the noise. It always comes up, but we'll maybe come back and maybe continue this discussion later. We'll see. I hope so. And so far, it's been awesome. It's like. Shani, you're really like inspiring me. This is honestly, I don't hear many people with your kind of story, especially Chinese people. It's just so unique. So I'd really love to hear more. So thanks for coming on so far.
This is a very unique girl.
For sure, for sure. And Arthur, I think your philosophy on teaching sounded awesome. And kudos to you for doing it. And not that it's. Not that you're only giving, I know you're receiving
it's
too.
It's a great adventure. You know, I just feel lucky to be able to do it.
Oh.
It's not any great, you know, sacrifice. It's fun. And I meet people like Xiaoni. Can't put a price on that.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, you can visit my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. From there, you can sign up to get updates from this podcast delivered directly to your inbox. Remember, the Around the World podcast is all about meeting ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. Thanks for listening.